Claude Debussy's Prelude to the Afternoon of a Faun is easily the most famous flute solo written by the famous French composer, but it's hardly the greatest or the strangest. That distinction falls to an unaccompanied flute work written much later, 19 years later in 1913, in a piece titled Syrinx. Philadelphia flutist Mimi Stillman, founder and director of the Dolce Suono Ensemble, began on the composer's 150th birthday on August 22nd, a year-long odyssey with the piece. She'll play it every single day and post videos on her website. The Philadelphia Inquirer's David Patrick Stearns reminded her that a year can seem like a very long time in music.
Seldom in history has a revolution been so radical and so congenial as Claude Debussy's. In fact, the birth of 20th century music is often pinpointed to a single date, the 1894 premiere of his Afternoon of a Faun. Suddenly, chords didn't need to resolve the way they had for the last three centuries. Music could float in the air without gravitational pull. For some listeners, the abstraction is just too much. The ears get lost and they don't know where they're going. For others, such as Mimi Stillman, Debussy's slim output is an island of unique experience, one reason why she's devoting a full year to Syrinx, a 2.5-minute work for unaccompanied flute. As Stillman demonstrates, its brevity is no reflection on its lack of depth.
The first statement, ruminative, things are going to happen, it happens again, right away, it builds up, and then it happens lower. And this, for me, grows out into what Debussy himself would often call a musical arabesque. So very inspired by Art Nouveau and the sinuous lines of women's hair and vegetation in this artistic style, then it goes into low, smoky writing and up to a very, for me, anguished at times or lamenting at times or sighing, sobbing climax, but still using the opening music.
The more one hears Syrinx, the more one wonders why more flutists haven't decided to play it every day, especially considering how lightweight the rest of the instrument's repertoire so often is. Syrinx is a piece to live with, says Philadelphia Orchestra Associate Principal Flutist David Kramer.
In a very short amount of time, it has a real shape. You feel like it has different sections and it reaches a definite climax and then quickly dissipates. And it's so beautiful.
For many listeners, Debussy represented a musical counterpart to the painter Claude Monet, even though the composer didn't like being called an impressionist. Though his music evokes all kinds of natural phenomena, such as la mer, the precision of his imagery can feel quite different from the hazy, dappled colors of Monet. The influence that most interests Stillman, however, is Asian. Besides being a Curtis Institute of Music graduate, she also studied history at Penn, writing a master's thesis on how Debussy changed after hearing Vietnamese opera at the Paris World's Fairs. As a result, all sorts of possibilities open up to her when she plays Syrinx.
I hear different things based on where I am. So I was in Jerusalem, and all these winding arabesque-like motifs sounded very oriental to me in the sort of classic Western imagining of the Orient sense, meaning maybe the Orient is anything that starts east of Greece.
At a fountain in Jerusalem, this is how Debussy sounded. At times, Stillman even heard parallels between Debussy and the calls to prayer from nearby mosques. One unexpected effect was what came out when she played in a church in Tuscany. There, the unaccompanied piece did not seem so unaccompanied.
Mm-hmm.
The inspiration for the piece was a play based on Greek mythology, the legend of the god Pan, and his lost love, Syrinx. In some ways, Stillman sees herself as following in Debussy's footsteps in search of something ancient and elemental.
I mean, the flute is one of the most ancient of instruments. They have found leg bone flutes of 40,000 years ago. It's almost in keeping with this basic primordial human impulse to make music is this human impulse to play the flute.
Take those notes away from the flute, and something completely different happens. The French trumpeter Eric Aubier transcribes Syrinx for himself, and suddenly the music becomes much more urban. The music also becomes less elegiac, and that quality is important. Debussy, after all, was running out of time when he wrote Syrinx. Shortly thereafter, he planned a series of 6 sonatas for diverse instruments, but only lived to write 3 before the onset of the brain cancer that killed him in 1918. The most unorthodox of them was his farewell to the instrument, the Sonata for Flute, Viola, and Harp. It's here that David Kramer realizes how deeply Debussy had come to understand the flute.
He must have known what he was doing, though. I mean, he wrote such beautiful flute music. I mean, the Sonata for Flute, Viola, and Harp is some of the most beautiful flute writing ever.
So Stillman has lots of vantage points from which to approach Syrinx. Then again, a year is a year. Might boredom be inevitable?
That's something I've been asking myself. I think that's part of the challenge. I think one thing that Julius Baker, my teacher, always said is his favorite piece of music is the one he's playing at the moment. And that just showed his commitment of body and soul to the music at all times, which is what we do. So I think, no, if I ever feel bored, that would be my failure, that the music is great and my goal is to find freshness in it every day and challenge myself to do that. I truly don't know what I will find exactly in the music almost a year from now through the project, but I know that I will find something.
Some listeners are bound to wonder if any piece, so seemingly modest as Syrinx, could possibly be worth such daily devotion. But such people would not be Debussyites. Debussy represented a crossroads between the Germanic Wagner and so much of what came after him. So to know Syrinx so intimately put Stillman in good stead for her Dolce Suono season, which is devoted to Debussy, as well as to much of what she'll be doing for the rest of her performing life.
The Philadelphia Inquirer's David Patrick Stearns. Mimi Stillman's videos of her performances of Syrinx will be updated daily at mimistillman.org.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.